Everybody, praise the Lord. Coming up on Fire Moment, I want you to stay tuned because today's program is going to really minister to you about your real life issues, things we think and believe about ourselves, really where all of us are at. You know, we're all messed up. We all have issues. We all have chaos and drama. But how do we deal with it? How do we start moving our way through it? We're going to find out today. We're talking with Pastor David Pettit from Shama Ministries. Don't go anywhere, friends. Stay with us because we'll break through your victory.
From Uniontown, Pennsylvania, Pastor Adam Lawson of Fresh Fire Church brings you Fire Moments, taking the fire of God around the world.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Fire Moment. I'm Pastor Adam Lawson of Fresh Fire Church, and we're glad that you're a part of our day and that we can be a part of yours, and that the Word of God today will change your life and speak to you. Today on the program, we're going to have a very special guest, and we want to welcome Pastor David Pettit. Some of you have seen him before on the program, or maybe you've seen him minister here at the church, but he's with us today. We're going to hear what word is on his heart today, what God is speaking to him, and I know that we'll have a great time. The last time he was here, it was truly anointed, and we heard from several people and just how you were encouraged and your lives touched, including people in my own family had sent in testimonies and wanted to let us know how the program ministered to them. So get ready. Get your pencil and your paper, because I know that there'll be notes that you'll want to take today from what is said. And so let me introduce to you Pastor David Pettit from Morgantown, West Virginia, Shama Ministry. It's good to have you back, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor and friend. It's good to see you. Good to be with you.
Yes. Yes, as always. We haven't known each other long, but God has just established a relationship that we've been able to have and work together in ministry, and it's exciting to always work together with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And where God is taking you, you've been on a journey with God for a number of years, and you've been in this season of transition and speaking elsewhere. And tell us a little bit about ministry and that transition, and then tell us about your ministry as well.
Okay. Well, Shama Christian Services, Shama Inc., is a ministry dedicated to helping the believers find the fullness and the sufficiency of Christ for living a life of fullness and overcoming. We do this through several mechanisms. Of course, we do this through prayer discipleship. We do this through scriptural counsel. We do this through a concept known as healing of historical wounds. We do specific things in terms of helping people understand the history of their woundedness. And what we do is basically pastoral care, but on a much more personal level. The pastor, the other minister there, the other counselor there, and myself, we're both also ordained ministers, and we spend a lot of time with people in a one-on-one situation. And we look at the specifics of each individual situation, and we try to find the answer in Christ, scripturally and in Christ, and through the Holy Spirit, through what they may need. We also do a lot of historical healing. And so it's just one of those moments where we help people take a good look at themselves.
Yeah.
And help them understand what's going on inside of themselves. And we invite, in every situation, in every counseling situation, we begin it with prayer, we finish it with prayer, and prayer is incorporated through the whole process because we believe in the scriptural concept that, you know, you shall know the truth.
Yes.
And the truth shall make you free. And so what we do is we invite people into a place of knowing the truth of Christ.
Amen.
For that situation in their life. And it's had some wonderful effects.
Amen. That's awesome. Now, for more information, they can go to your website to find out more about you, and if they're local to the area, get to know you, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So the information at the bottom of your screen, we want you to take a look, go to the website, check it out, see what they have, and perhaps they can be a blessing and a help in your life. And so it's Shama Christian Center, ChristianServices.com, correct?
That is correct.
All right. So check it out. Check out Pastor David, and if you're near the area, then you could benefit and be blessed by the ministry and what they do. I know they'd be happy to talk with you and work with you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, you're in a transition, which is always difficult for all of us. It can be challenging, but it's a blessing at the same time. You were leading worship in your church for a number of years, and God's had you in this transition where you're out doing other ministry.
Yes. again, my life has been one one series of transition after another. I've been, I accepted Jesus as a boy in the 1960s, and so if there's anything I've figured out, everything is constantly in flux. Everything is constantly in change. And so I spent 20 years in the pastoral work, and then I moved from the pastoral work to the counseling, the Christian counseling aspect. But while I was doing that, I was also in ministry in a church in Morgantown, with a church in Morgantown for 4 years as their worship leader. And that was enjoyable, and of course I felt led of the Spirit to do that at the time. And but over the last year or so, the transition you're speaking of is I've been really hungry to share the Word of God again. And I'm not exactly sure where that's going to take me, because I have two principles. I have two really spiritual principles. I ask myself in any given situation, what is God's heart? And number two, how do I cooperate with that? My whole spiritual journey has been reduced to those principles. And so right now I'm in this place where I want to share the Word of God with people, and I want to open it up in a way that people can find answers to the tough questions. A lot of times in churches, pastors, they need to teach and they need to preach, but they have to speak to in terms of general theology. They have to speak to the whole body. One of the things I want to do is I want to be able to dig for the deeper things that apply to the core of us and who we are. One thing that has been abundantly clear to me is people want to live in victory, but so few do.
Yeah.
And the reason that so few live in victory is because they've never allowed the presence of Christ to go to those deep places. But God's not scared of those places. He's not even surprised at those places. We spend our time trying to hide ourselves from Him. And so what I want to bring in terms of teaching and preaching in churches and being open to whatever God has there, what I want to bring is that understanding that God loves us as we are, not as we should be, and that we're all works in progress. And there are people sitting in any congregation, just like yours here, there are people sitting in any congregation that are walking through things, and they have this sense of dread, like they're isolated, like it's them, like there's no one else that experiences this. I say this a lot, and I say it kind of tongue-in-cheek. Everybody's messed up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
The sooner we allow ourselves to own that, the sooner we can get real with ourselves, and the sooner we get real with ourselves, the sooner we can be honest with God about it, and we can let Him speak to those deeper places. So my transition right now is to, if there's a message that I preach more than anything, it's time to get real with ourselves and get real with God. And I want to use the Word to bring it. So I'm kind of in this teaching mode right now where let's get real with God, let's get real with ourselves, and the church can move forward in a better manner, in a more healthy, fulfilling, honoring of God kind of manner.
Amen. Amen. That's good. You know, I believe that's where God wants the body of Christ is. God needs us to be a people that are real. You know, I say often, you know, that when we get real with God, God will get real with us. And God is always real. But there are things that God wants to reveal to us, things He wants to release to us. But we have to be at that place where God is able to release that to us. And so I believe that's really what God wants to do with the body of Christ as a whole. You talked in talking about the transition and realizing that we're all messed up. That's true. You know, every one of us has something that we're struggling with, that we're dealing with, and yet God wants to be real with the church, and it's our individual hesitations or restrictions or issues that oftentimes I think hold us back from really benefiting from what the body of Christ was created to do.
Yes.
God created a body and a family, and I was just preaching about it recently, about the family of God and our family and the way God wants to move through that. But I see so many Christians not taking full advantage of the body of Christ.
Yes.
And don't you believe that's more of a personal issue, that oftentimes we can look and say, oh, I'd like to get real with them, or I'd like to do what they're talking about, but if I do that, I'll get hurt. If I do that, you know, maybe they've had bad experiences. But it's about us knowing and us really realizing that the church was intended to be a safe place.
Yes.
That what goes on here stays here. That I've seen the church sort of take what goes on in the church out to the world, and the world can't receive the things of Christ. They don't understand that, and so it's tainted our image. But God really wants to move in the church. He wants to move in our lives, and He wants to do that by using our brothers and sisters.
Yes.
You believe that?
Yes.
Now, tell us what and how do we get to that point where we can be comfortable with ourselves and secure in ourselves and realizing that, you know what, there may be some that dislike us or would use things against us, but God, the body of Christ really is meant that you are my brother, you'll walk with me, you'll help me, that I can get real with you, and that we can reap full benefit of that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And your statements, of course, produce several questions in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the first question is how do we become intimate? Now, the best definition of the word intimacy that I've ever heard is into me see.
Yes.
Okay? And what we're doing, and we were created, all of us, human beings, we were created for intimate belonging. Matter of fact, one of my favorite authors wrote a book called Abba's Child, The Cry of the Heart for Intimate Belonging. That is our nature, and so we were created. Here's the problem, and even in one of my own journals, I can recall saying, human beings are a funny creation in that we desire intimacy with one another, but we avoid it because that would require us to be intimate. It's almost like a catch-22. And we feel like we're between a rock and a hard place. I want to feel like I belong, and that's the problem with much of our listening audience. I don't know where I fit. I don't know where I belong. A lot of people I talk to say, I just don't feel like I fit. I don't know what my place is. I don't know what my purpose is. A question I ask a lot of people in my office is, what were you created for? You know, was it Shakespeare who said, to thine own self be true? And that's a nice sentiment, but most people don't know that. They don't know themselves. How can we be true to what we don't know? We have spent most of our lives trying to accommodate others' expectations of ourselves because we believe somehow we're intrinsically wrong or we're intrinsically bad. So when you come back to that question, how can we nurture that? We have to nurture that intimacy with one another by realizing that our condition is not abnormal. I mean, it's not abnormal. It happens. It's not isolated. The person that we're talking to, if they are not in the midst of that struggle, they have experienced that struggle. The people we talk to, they've experienced things in our lives. We don't have to live isolated. We don't have to live alone. What happens, though, is we see our wrongdoings. We see our thoughts or the things we pay attention to or the things that we read or the things that we watch on TV or the relationships that we engage in, and we see that what we don't like about that, and we see ourselves as bad. Well, what comes on the back of that is shame. And we don't want to talk about the things that we're ashamed of. But we're ashamed of things. There are things in my life I'm ashamed of because they don't always meet what we think God would expect. The realness has to come in lowering our guard and realizing the people we talk to are just as broken as we are. Now, the part the church has to play in this is we have to make it a safe place for people to come.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people go to church, and churches in general, a lot of people go to church, and maybe someone in their congregation sets in judgment. And in their self-righteousness, they look down their nose at someone's behavior or someone's actions. Everybody sins because of something that's broke inside of us.
Yeah.
And the church really needs to stop dealing with sin as something to be judged and labeled and needs to start dealing with sin from a solution standpoint.
Yeah. Amen.
Everybody needs healed. Everybody needs touched. Everybody needs something inside changed. And so when we can get honest, with our brothers and sisters about that. And the church can get honest and realize, you know, we're not a perfect institution. We're not a bunch of perfect people. We're here all together on this journey, trying to find our way, draw closer to Christ, let Christ have his way in our heart, take up residence and abode and abide with us. When we just drop all of our guards and get honest, then the conditions can change. Everyone that we meet, though, particularly those in my office, and I say that particularly, I don't mean just, it's not isolated to those. Everybody that comes into my office, those problems are experienced church-wide. But everyone that comes in feels very isolated. They feel very alone. They feel like they're the only ones that struggle with this thing. And that's just not the reality. The quicker we get on being honest with that, the quicker we can let our guards down, the quicker the church stops playing the judgment game and starts saying, how can I serve you? What part can I play to bring healing and wholeness to your life? You'll see a much healthier church emerge. You'll see a world that begins to adore that institution. You know, the world resists the church because the church has set in judgment. The church has made rules that don't make sense to the world. Where if the church could begin to produce the idea that we really are an institution filled with broken and wounded people.
Yes.
That we're not any different than anybody else in the world. We have bad days. We have lustful thoughts. We think angry things. There's viciousness and there's darkness.
Yeah.
When we get real with that, only then, when we own it, then we can begin to deal with it. Then we can be honest about it. We can find fellowship among brethren to pray with us, encourage us. Then we'll see the church begin to emerge as something completely new.
Amen.
That's where we want to go.
Amen. Yeah, God wants to do an individual work on us. For me, I know for where a place that I've been at, that I know that many of you can identify with, is that God is leading us into that individual intimacy. That I'm unable to experience the corporate intimacy of the church till I have that individual intimacy with God. And God has really had me in a place personally where he's just been working on me, just showing me things and revealing things. And we've been working on things together. I think, Pastor, about a word that I preached for Father's Day. And I did not want to preach the word because it was speaking to me in my own relationship. And it was about honor, understanding that some of God's promises, there's contingencies. God says, you know, do this is the blessing you'll receive. And yet I knew the Holy Spirit was guiding me, and it was a work that God needed to do in me. It was a work that he had to do. It was an assignment from heaven. God said, now is the time, Adam. And I've just been in this place where I'm just allowing God to do those things, and it may be uncomfortable, but through that I'll minister it and be very transparent about that. And so I see God wanting to do that with people. And I know today that many folks, like you said, they're struggling with loneliness and different things, that God wants to minister to them on a personal level. And his message is still the same, that he loves you. And I just believe that more than anything today, that we need to encourage folks and let them know that despite what they've heard or what they've been told, that God loves you. And that we struggle. I have issue. Pastor David has issues, and as pastors, we struggle, you know. But the message is still clear that God loves me. You know, He hates the sin in our life, but God still loves me. And the old song we sang, young and sometimes still as adults, he's still working on me. Mm-hmm. And though I'm a work in progress, does not mean I get thrown out with the trash. And I like you, I see so many broken people and so many believers hopeless. Yes. When we should have hope. And so my encouragement today, Pastor, is that we let people know that there is hope, and that despite what you've been told, where you've been, or how even you've been hurt in the church, I want you to know that the Church of Jesus Christ is a safe place, the real church, that We will make mistakes, and we will be wounded. And the great thing about the church is that God and His Word teach us, if I hurt you, I harm you in the midst of my own messed up life, that God's Word teaches me how to make that right, so that it can, I can maintain a safe place. I can maintain that covenant relationship, that I will hurt you, or you, maybe I'll offend you, but that God's Word teaches me to work through that. And in here is everything that we need today. But I just really believe we need to distress to somebody that God loves you right where you are, sitting on your couch, at your kitchen table, with whatever weight you have. He loves you, and His message is still the same. And He's reaching, He's extending a hand to you today, just to offer hope and say, I'm here. I love you. You may have been sitting alone and not been in church for years. There's so many folks that just are alone and not in church. But God says, I want you to receive the fullness of my life, not just the church, but through your personal relationship with God. And so I say all that, Pastor, just as I believe the Holy Spirit wants someone to hear that today.
Yes.
But you said so much there that I want to be able to speak to. We're going to run out of time, so we'll have to pick up next week. But we it's a decision that we make, isn't it?
Every day. John Eldridge, who wrote the book Waking the Dead, he made a statement in one of his, it was that book, Waking the Dead. It was a great book. And he said that we are constantly at war. There's three things that are constant or consistent in our life, and that is, number one, that God loves you. Number two, because God loves you, Satan hates you. And number three,
yeah,
because Satan hates you, you're always going to be at war. And he also mentioned in that book, he said, we have to get up every day and we have to take a good look at our negative self-beliefs, and we have to choose every day what kind of an agreement we're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important. I mean, there's a scripture that talks about whose report are we going to believe? Okay, and I want to believe the report of the Lord. I want to believe what the Word of God says about me. You know, if it says I am an overcomer in Christ Jesus, that's what I want to align my thinking with.
Yes.
If it says I'm a child of God in Christ Jesus, that's what I want to align my thinking with. And all too often, we let the enemy convince us that our identity is based in our behavior. No, we're being changed. We're being transformed from glory to glory. Okay. When we own the reality that God loves us without fail, without hesitation, when we get that, then we can be owned by Him. We can allow ourselves to be free with Him, and He can begin to deal with those things. Yes, He loves us as we are, not as we should be. He loves us as we are, and we're being changed from glory to glory. And I love that about that. Everything, Pastor, everything is grace. So I get up every morning, and the negative things in my life that I've seen about myself, I find myself saying, today, in Jesus' name, today, in Jesus' name, I break agreement with that lie. Today, in Jesus' name, I break agreement with that old way of thinking. Today, in Jesus' name, I align myself with what God says about me.
Yes.
That's what I get up every day, and I choose that. What happens is I'm aligning my spirit with what the Spirit of God says.
Yes.
What God says about me, He came along. See, it's done in Christ. I mean, when you stand before God, we can see all of our weaknesses and all of our failures. And you know what God sees? He sees nothing but the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of His own Son in place. And He looks at us and He pronounces us on the gavel, not guilty.
Yes.
Amen. I live before God who says, not guilty.
Amen.
He loves me. So I just want to, cooperate with that.
Amen.
I want to live a life that cooperates with
Him. Amen. Amen. God and His Word is so amazing. And I, like you, know that we have to align our thinking with the Word of God, confessing the Word. And as we do, it's changing what we believe about ourselves. And there's so many influences in our lives from a child up. And it's reversing that. It's sometimes reversing, as some say, reversing the curse that we have, and that knowing that God is for us, He's not against us. And when you begin to confess the Word, whether, as you said, negative self-belief and such negativity, wilderness mentalities, that we think everything's bad, everything happens to you, that God's Word works if we work the Word. And it takes us working that Word, speaking it out, because as you speak it, we begin to believe that to be truth. And so we're going to go into this much, much deeper, but believe it or not, we're running out of time today. So I really next week would like to speak of more on the negative self-belief, on the mind. That's one of the greatest battles. And I tell even our folks here at the church, I think one of the greatest battles we ever face is the battle of the mind. Because once you accomplish that, it's like the Word of God, the relationship, the love of God, everything in His Word is opened up. And it now seems attainable versus a fairy tale, like it'll never happen for me. And so I'd like to speak more about that and more next week, if we can. And so, friends, we are running out of time, but I want to encourage you again to make sure you go to Pastor David's website for Shama Christian Services, and so it's shamachristianservices.com. They're on the bottom of your screen. And make sure you tune in next week for more, because we're going to dive in deeper, get into the Word, and see what God has to say, and really bring help to you for your life, for what you're facing right now. But know that God loves you. Friend, we're praying for you. We're lifting you before heaven, and we look forward for you joining us next week with Pastor David and I as we go into the Word and we talk more about real life issues and what we're facing. So until then, my friends, I pray the fire of God consumes your life. Thank you, Pastor.
By today's message. If you would like to know more about Fresh Fire Church, visit us at freshfirechurch.net or call us at 724-580-7027. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Visit us at 6497 National Pike, Briar Hill, Pennsylvania. Until next time, may the fire of God consume your life. We'll be right back.